Today we celebrate the solemnity of Mary. For thousands of years, our faith has recognized that some feast days are of a higher order than other feast days. We use the word solemnity to indicate the highest rank of feast days. There are memorials and there are solemnities. And we use the word solemnity today to indicate the fact that the feast of the motherhood of Mary, Mother of God, is of the highest rank for the entire church worldwide. There is one solemnity higher, and it's Easter Sunday, which is referred to in our liturgy as the solemnity of solemnities. There is no solemnity of a higher order than Easter Sunday. Today we celebrate a major solemnity. The church teaches that Mary is the mother of God, and that this is an article of faith that all Catholics must believe to be Catholic. Now, some people reject that kind of language, but let's go back and rethink what it means to be Catholic. It's not the building we come to celebrate and praise God. It's what we believe that makes us Catholic. If we can say together the creed, that defines us as Catholic. Jesus was God. That's in the creed. He was fully man and fully God. How does that work? It's a mystery. But it's in our creed. And it's Catholic to believe that. And he took his humanity from a woman whose name was Mary, a virgin. And we're Catholic if we believe that Jesus is the Son of God and the Son of Mary. That makes Mary the Mother of God. And for 2,000 years, this is how we have reflected on our Mother Mary. And this cannot be debated if you call yourself Catholic. We are Catholic by what we believe. When we declare the creed, I believe in God, and that Jesus is God, and that God became man, taking his human flesh from the Virgin Mary, we are very Catholic and united with Catholics in the church throughout the world. Mary bore God in her womb. How does that work? Mary gave birth to her Creator. Explain that to me. These are not mathematical equations or scientific facts. These are more true than true. These are the truths of our being, of our faith. These are the truths that define who we are. Jesus is both God and man. Without his mother Mary, he could not be man. And Mary is blessed among women, as her cousin Elizabeth said, and blessed is the fruit of her womb. Now, since Mary bore God in her womb, that makes Mary a tabernacle. Say the word tabernacle.
Tabernacle.
Tabernacle. Now, we refer to this box over here on the wall as our tabernacle. The problem is we give it undue reference. Now, follow my thinking on this. It is absolutely a tabernacle. Because inside that tabernacle, we reserve the body of Jesus, right? That makes it a tabernacle. However, everything in that box, everything in that tabernacle is reserved to, was consecrated and is reserved to be consumed by a human being who believes that this is the body of Christ. That makes you the true tabernacles. Once you have received the word of God in preparation, and then received from the altar his body and blood, you now have God inside you. That makes you the tabernacle. That was always the original intention. That was always the objective. One of the reasons that I want to move the tabernacle from over there to behind the altar is to eliminate this procession that becomes almost automatic in our liturgies here, where we raise the ciborium and we march across the sanctuary and go down into the tabernacle and open the door and replace the ciborium, and we close the door and lock it, and then we genuflect, and we're overlooking something more important. That if you have received the body and blood of Jesus Christ, you have eternal life in you. You are the tabernacles. That's a reserve place. Properly named tabernacle. Properly placed behind the altar, where the simple thing to do at the end of communion is to reserve it in the proper location. The church's tabernacle for the reserve Eucharist. But not losing sight of what just happened. The miracle is that those who believe that the body and blood are real when they come from the altar, and that by receiving them you have eternal life in you, there's the miracle. Here's the tabernacle. And we have to be very careful that our religious customs don't blur those things. And it's interesting that Mary gives us the very first image of that, because Mary was the first tabernacle. Mary bore God in her womb by some heavenly mystery. It had been announced that the Messiah would be born of a woman, a virgin, for centuries before the nativity of Jesus. This wasn't something that just popped up. It had been prepared for. It had been anticipated. This morning we're going to bless the image of Our Lady of Guadalupe. We put it up there before December 12th. And I want to show you something about the image of Our Lady of Guadalupe. We read in Revelation, the last paragraph in chapter 11 and the first paragraph in chapter 12. And the heavens opened. And there was revealed the tabernacle of heaven. They use the word ark. Ark and tabernacle are interchangeable. A woman clothed with the sun, with the moon under her feet, 12 stars about her head. She was pregnant. What happened on December 12th, 1531 in Mexico, in a very pagan country where human sacrifices included 50 to 80,000 human sacrifices a year, and they resisted baptism and the Christian faith, the tabernacle showed up. And within 5 years, there were 5 million baptisms. And by 1548, by the death of the time of the death of San Juan Diego, and in the same month, Bishop Juan Zumárraga, 9 million baptisms had happened. And when it all began, there were only 40 priests in the whole country. So what was happening was Mexicans were catechizing Mexicans because there weren't enough Europeans to do the job. And the Catholic faith exploded from the tabernacle, which is the way it works. And when Juan Zumárraga, the bishop from Spain, first saw the image in his own sacristy, he immediately recognized what he had grown up with from the last paragraph of chapter 11 of Revelation and the first paragraph of chapter 12. And he saw exactly what the Indians, the Aztec Indians, saw in a hieroglyphic message. A woman clothed with the sun, standing on the moon. She was about to give birth. That's our tabernacle. We were united in that moment. And it created a change of heart that has affected the entire hemisphere and continues to this day to be one of the greatest evangelical activities on planet Earth. The last time I was there at the Basilica, the rector of the Basilica gave a talk, and he said, we get 14 million people coming to the Basilica every single year from every continent on planet Earth. They come still. She's still evangelizing. Because she's the tabernacle. She's our mother because she gives birth to the church. Our salvation came through the Blessed Mother. Eve was the first woman. But Eve, who was created in the image of God, in the likeness and image of God, to live forever, she rebelled. And she shut all of her children out of heaven. That's what we call original sin. We inherited all of that from her. And then there was Mary. Mary was full of grace. Mary never rebelled. Mary contemplated the mysteries. And she opened heaven to all of her children. And so if we share heaven with Mary, that makes us her children and Mary our mother. When we say Mary, mother of the church, we mean it. We become children of God, and we become tabernacles of God. And when we become tabernacles of God, we become like Mary, because like her, we then bear God within us. That makes us Catholic. And through the sacraments, we're united to her. Thanks be to God.